A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. 3:34. Welcome to the show. Great to have your company on a glorious sunny winter's day. Kimbo and The Rooch with you live from Studio Lumo SA, all thanks to our great friends at Balfour's, who have been baking people happy since 1853. They are a true South Aussie icon. This bloke isn't.
Party people!
Rooch, here he is. Rooch, here he is.
Hey!
Rooch! Shaka-laka,
Balfour's are a South Australian institution. Rooch. You should be in a... That's well, what people say. They used to say
you,
that, Rooch. But I defend you now. How are you, my good friend?
I'm not too bad still. I don't think I'd want to be an icon.
You don't?
No.
I don't think you've got any say in it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kim. Hello, everyone.
It's going to be a big day, Rooch. I'm looking forward to it. There's a big tribunal appearance. Guests coming up tonight. Really looking forward to having a chat to Sarah Black. She's the chief AFLW reporter for the AFL. And, of course, it's the first time the AFLW will have a draft with all 18 teams. That gets underway at 6:30 tomorrow night.
And I have been asking you for a month, how did they decide Sydney got picked number one?
Toss of the coin, Rooch.
Was that how they did it? No. A four-sided coin. Well, we've got four new teams. No, who got number one pick?
We did inquire. Yes. It was obviously going to be between the four new sides.
Hawthorn, Essendon, Port Adelaide, Sydney.
Yes.
It's and not even alphabetical.
We couldn't even find out what the protocol was after that, but hopefully that's why we're having Sarah
good,
on.
Good.
She's an expert.
Port's got some nice picks.
Oh, slight understatement, Rooch. You've got seven picks. You got four in the first round, and... you're getting the cream of South Australian talent.
And one Victorian.
Yep. And that's Yasmin Dersma, the sister of. But she won't go in the first four.
No, but it'd be good to have her at Alberton to do that brother-sister story, won't it?
Well, only if she can play, Roots. There's no sentiment in football. Dick Jones said that 50 years ago. We've got a special guest in the studio, Channel 7's John Casey, the voice of basketball. He's in here on a secret mission. We can't say too much. Stand by.
Okay.
It could be a big announcement. He's chortling in the background at the moment. A little intimidating having such an illuminary in the studio. Is that the word? I always get it wrong. Illumini?
Well, just say such a great...
Just yell out so they don't think we're too...
Good on
you. Yeah,
well done,
good on you.
Welcome
good on
aboard.
You, Case. We'll have a chat to you a little bit later. So Sarah Black at 4:10.
Yep.
At 4:35, we're hoping to go to Melbourne to Channel 7's Mitch Cleary. Got a Channel 7 theme about it today we have. Of course, Tommy Stewart's tribunal gets underway at 4:45, Rooch. You've done a little bit of homework.
Yeah, if it goes under five, it's not right, Kim. If you have a look at what the tribunal has put on its agenda for the past 5 years, four is shallow.
What's your precedent?
Well, I think the one we look back to is Jeremy Cameron, Harris Andrews, 2018, which actually was listed as intentional. There's no two that are ever similar, are there?
No.
But you've got Harris Andrews tapping the ball, Jeremy Cameron cleaning him up in midair, and that was graded intentional. This one is... Dion Prestia tapping the ball, Tom Stewart coming in pretty much later and cleaning him up. Admittedly, Stewart's wobbly all over the place even before he's hit because he's trying to get back to ground. But it's similar in some ways. And if that got five for Jeremy Cameron, Tom Stewart has to get five. Has to.
This won't surprise you. I disagree.
Okay.
Only slightly, though. And we just had a look at the Harris Andrews one to refresh our memory again. I think it's a little bit different. He was going the other way, Jeremy Cameron, at the time. He was going against
the flight.
He was going
ball.
With the flight of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he extended a forearm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, when you extend a forearm, when you're in the position he was, the only thing you're going to probably hit is what? A head.
Yeah.
If you have a look at the incident between Dion Prestia and Tommy Stewart, he was going to get penalised for a late hit anyway,
no doubt.
The bump, because the ball had been tapped on.
Yep.
When Prestia jumped, as in like a basketball tip-off almost,
he
leans backwards.
Got to his teammate too.
Loses a little bit of balance, goes back, and that puts his head right in the line of Tommy Stewart.
But in the end, Tom Stewart has to pay a price for his mistake.
No doubt about it. I think 4 weeks.
Oh, then you're going to have Scott Lysett coming in saying, well, he was dudded because he shouldn't have got four. He should have got three for the Ned McHenry one.
Mm.
Gets four. That was a...
Well, I didn't agree with those at the time anyway. So,
but if they've set that...
I mean, I agree that it's with the rules, it should have been games, but I thought four was huge.
But if they've set the barrier, that one at four, you can't have Tom Stewart landing at four if they're going to be consistent, which would be a dream to have something consistent in the AFL, Kim.
Mm. Well, we wait and see. We're not taking it lightly, but why don't we do a nearest the pin on this one, hey? All right. Yeah. Now, we appreciate a lot of people will get it right, so then we'll put you into a draw. Okay, so if a lot of people say three or four or five, we could get six or seven, which I think would be way too much.
Yeah, so this century, the biggest suspension has been Toby Green, six with an umpire moment, which is always going to be judged differently. Now,
I can't believe you thought Nat Fyfe needed a fine yesterday.
No, he needed a reprimand.
No, he didn't. We need common sense, and common sense was shown in regards to that situation. We're live and interactive. Well, Luke, Rooch is the living dead. 0427 154 166. We'll do a nearest the pin. What do you think Tom Stewart should receive as a penalty? If you get it right, you will win a Signet Boost Power Bank valued at $59.95. Of course, with a Signet Power Bank, you don't have to worry about a low battery ruining your day. It's a mobile charger. Your phone will never get flat. I'm saying four, Rooch?
Five.
Five. All right. Hey, Wimbledon got underway last night.
Yes, yeah, Strawberry and Cream.
Did you watch any of it?
I only saw 10 minutes of the intro.
I stayed
and then
up.
Had much to do.
I stayed up till about 2 o'clock and I watched the poo. He won in straight sets.
Yes.
Yeah, and he wasn't favourite for that game. Showed a little bit of fight, was good. Novak Djokovic, the Joker, won in four, looked a little bit scratchy against
the
gentleman that was
beginning
ranked 81 in the world.
Yep.
So for the next 2 weeks, Brett Phillips will join us, Channel 9 tennis commentator and host of SEN's The First Serve. He's one of the best in the business.
Where are you on the debate on protocol of what you can and cannot wear at Wimbledon? Do you like Wimbledon being one out?
One out with being white.
More stricter and, on what players can wear. And we've heard the debate over the weekend that...
I find it funnier now in the era that we live in that you're being told what you can wear.
Yes.
Really, when you look at it that way. I know they prefer the traditions of all white.
Yeah,
it's not a biggie for me though, Rooch.
No, well, a few players have made an issue of it.
Hey, we're going to talk about Clarko.
Oh,
Clarko.
Oh, gee, your thought from when was it? What date did you say it? I fell off my chair. I still cannot imagine a man who has caused so much torment to the Hawthorn Football Club finish up coaching Essendon. Sorry, the Essendon Footy Club from Hawthorn.
Well, I said yesterday, Rich, a lot of people have joined the party very late. All right, well, back in May the 2nd, this
May
is what
too.
I had to say. Makes a little bit of sense because I'm hearing Alistair Clarkson doesn't want to leave Victoria.
That's what I heard
today. I've spoken to a very prominent person in Melbourne that's in the know, Rooch. I think he's going to end up at Essendon. Now, that's bad news for the truck.
Hello? Hello?
Benny Rutten, well, they're in a world of pain at the moment and the natives are restless, a lot of the supporter base and a lot of officials, and we know they've had a lot of fractures in recent years. He's got 1 year to go next year. You've got the chance to stick with Ben Rutten, and you don't know what you're going to get next year, given the way things are going this year. Great rivals. He's a disruptor. He likes that.
How does someone go from Hawthorn to Essendon?
Because you're Alistair Clarkson, and that's the type of things he does. He likes being different. He's a disruptor, Rooch. And you imagine him and Kevin Sheedy sitting there.
I'm trying to imagine it.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that one. That's what we're hearing.
And it's building.
That was 8 weeks ago, Rooch.
It's building.
I was mocked and ridiculed. Now everyone's jumping on board. They say it's out of two clubs, Essendon and St Kilda now, which would be absolutely cruel for Brett Rutten. And it'd be really hard for Ben Rutten as well. Alistair Clarkson has gone to ground in recent weeks, Rooch, which I find great irony in that.
So North Melbourne could make the emotional pitch, but he'd ignore it.
Yep. And this is why Alistair Clarkson has spoken on a podcast, and obviously they were going to ask the question. This is a podcast called The Believers. This is what Clarko had to say about the possibility of coaching.
My only prerequisite is I want to be involved with a group that's got an opportunity to win it again. So whether that you're taking a group that's a long way from it and it's now a five-year journey, or whether you take hold of a team that's close to it and the goal of the game is to, and especially with the way that Karen and I have gone about it over the journey, is bring together a group of people which involves administration, coaching and players, and a journey together, a voyage together, where you've got this shared goal at the end, which is to win silverware.
Gee, that sounds just what Essendon need. Can't do it at Gold Coast.
You're on board now.
Can't do it at Gold Coast.
Stewie Jew will be given another contract. Tony Cochran is a massive support and he's doing a wonderful job.
Which makes GWS more mysterious, considering they've got a vacancy.
And from my understanding, and the two people that I have great trust in, Alistair wants to live in Melbourne still.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. So, look, we watch this space. Everyone's having their two bobs worth now. Grant Thomas, who's never shy to have an opinion.
Yes, he's very strong on his St Kilda as well.
Yes, well, he's had this to say about Clarkson and St Kilda.
You don't waste your time, you just get him. I mean, St Kilda hasn't won a premiership for 55 years. Surely it's getting time to make the decisions to give yourself the best possible chance.
Yes. Now, is Alistair Clarkson that man, considering his record for the last 6 years at Hawthorn?
Well, it's funny, a number of people don't think so. Graham from Brisbane, get a big Graham. I'll tell you what, he needs his own radio show. He never holds back from having an opinion. Big gra-gra.
Yes.
Clarko, the most overrated bloke in football.
I was waiting for this
one.
He
left Hawthorn in a mess. The bloke's a con.
Ooh,
Graham, he won four
that.
Flags. I think anyone would take four flags. Staggering. Here we go. A lot of people playing nearest the pin. Aaron, very astute judge. Good afternoon, Kimbo and Rooch. Tom Stewart, 5 weeks. My wife has been offered permanent work in Adelaide and just wondering whether Rooch would sell one of his mansions in Italy and put her up in Adelaide. Well, Rooch, there you go.
What work does she do?
Aaron's wife was down doing some work a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Aaron, she could move in with me. No, you should come and live in Adelaide as well, Aaron. I think that's Aaron the Swan, Mad Sydney supporter. Rooch, the biggest suspension of this century is actually Gaff with 8 weeks for that strike on Brayshaw. That's from Brad.
Ah.
What did you say it was?
Because I've looked at the AFL website. They've got Toby Green this century at 6. Yeah, that's what they've put up today.
Rooch,
biggest bans this century.
Don't blame your tools, Rooch. Don't blame someone else. Take responsibility.
Looking at this at the AFL website. Biggest suspension this century. They've got Toby Green 6 matches.
Well, Rooch, I'm just saying, even the guru John Casey is in the studio, is just shaking his head at the moment, saying, Rooch, you should have known that.
Well, you think the AFL would know their suspensions?
He just showed me. Yeah, you want to get on them, Rooch. They stuff that up. Oh, hang on. I get a bit nervous when I mention Kane. He'll ring through.
Yes.
Hi, guys. I see Kane just cannot keep his mouth shut about Rosie and Walsh. He really needs to shut up and leave the players alone.
Nick.
No, but that debate, I'm going to defend Kane here. He did not want to bring up Walsh. He was making a point that at some stage in Connor Rosie's career, he will be the best player in the competition. And he went to lengths to say that doesn't mean that he'll have the greater career, but at some stage. A bit like Nathan Brown says that for a 6-week period, he was the best player in the competition.
Fair enough.
So, got to defend Kano on that one, Nicky boy. All right,
it's coming good, Connor Rosie.
3:46. Some big news coming out of Brisbane.
Now, everyone thought, after all the rumbles last year about Lachie Neale wanting to return to Western Australia and play for Fremantle because of family issues and his wife and so forth wanting to get back to family, that he would do one more year at Brisbane, hopefully get the premiership, and on it would be. Now, he's contracted for next year already. He's added another 3. So it takes him to 24, 25, 26. We might have to talk to Ryan Reynolds over there in the West and say, how's that gone down at Fremantle? Because they would
Ryan Reynolds? He's an actor. He's in Hollywood. He'd be happy with that description.
We'll get him on as well. Ryan Daniels.
Hey, it's none of my business, your personal life, but why would you be thinking about Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. I just thought of a name. That's all.
Ryan Daniels. Yeah. He was promoting that he'd be going back to Fremantle.
Yes.
Did you not have a crack at me a few days ago because I said Brad Crouch instead of Matt Crouch?
Oh, yes, yes.
Hey?
Yes.
You jumped down my throat.
But you got 3 wrong in the space of 5 minutes.
I got 2, you flog, all right?
3. Ben's got 3 fingers up.
Well, that's... We'll get to Ben shortly. A bloke that's 28 going on 11, seriously. Look.
Anyway, that's big for Brisbane. Huge.
It is. Great news
huge.
There.
And when are they doing McStay and...
McStay will go to Collingwood, I think.
Oh, that on the record? You want that on the record?
Well, I'm saying it's a possibility, a strong possibility.
Okay.
I believe they've offered him 5 years, Rooch. Mm. A very good deal, and he's a Victorian boy.
Yes.
Nearest the pin, Louis. Louis had a crack at me yesterday. Louis, don't say I have crow's goggles on because I give an opinion either. What? I think Matt Crouch would be able to play at another club. He'd walk into several clubs.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with my team of preference is Louis. We've had a Sherbet. Come on. I thought we were closer than that. I'm tipping 4, which is then appealed by the AFL to appear as if to be tougher on head knocks, and a direct example where they can point to due to care in future lawsuits. Louis, that's a very good text, that
Actually,
one.
That's a good point. If it is a figure that doesn't go down well with the AFL, what would they do? Because they've been down this path before.
They may make a statement like that. Yeah. Yep. They did it with Toby Green.
Exactly.
Rooch, this is a text for you. Yeah. Your assessment of the Tom Stewart suspension is missing the biggest factor when the tribunal is handing down penalties.
Yep.
The VFL rule.
Oh, no.
He's from a traditional VFL club, so there's an immediate reduction. Dave from Mount Barker.
No.
Good on you, Dave. Loving your work.
No.
Used to be a member of the Mount Barker Golf Club. Had some good times up there, Rooch. What have we got here?
Fine men on the AFL tribunal.
Graham's got a bee in his bonnet, I'll tell you. Clarko doesn't want a challenge. He wants a 99% chance of a flag. If he wanted a challenge, he'd help his original club out.
As in North Melbourne.
I'll put money on he'll never win another premiership. Graham, I'll have a pint with you on that. I think he will, if he gets back coaching.
Which would be the better option, St Kilda or Essendon?
Essendon.
Mm.
By a mile, I think.
Stay tuned.
What's Graham's always
so
says.
So still leaves the question, what is happening at GWS?
Don Pike. They'll just wait for the end of the season.
You
they can't
think?
Do it while Sydney's in the finals. Yeah, I do think.
Right. Okay.
What do you think? Shooting from the hip?
I'm not sure that one plays.
Why? Well, all right. You big newsbreaker. Who are you saying?
That's why I've been curious as to what they're doing. They haven't announced any panel that's searching for it. They're first in the field.
Let's go back 3 years to when you're the chief footy writer at the Advertiser and you had to have an opinion. What would be your story on the back page to coach GWS?
No, I want to do a bit of homework on that one first, not just shoot from the hip.
The position's been vacant for months.
I know. I want to think about it.
All right, you've got an ad break. It's 3:51. We'll get the answer on the other side.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full
of the Holy Grail. 3:56 on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Kimbo and The Rooch with you. All thanks to our good friends at Balfour's. No matter your club's colours, Balfour's are for the game. We're live from Studio Lumo SA. Right here on number 1 King William Street. People rushing around, heading home, Rooch, to get dinner prepared, then watch Big Brother. Or Wimbledon.
Is that back on?
Rooch, it's building up to a crescendo.
Really?
Yeah, who's going to win? Tim Johnson, Alicia.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to get a life, I know.
Yes.
Oh, Graham, he's up and about today.
I know, what's he done?
This is about our good friend.
He's got a real beef about Alistair Clarkson.
Alistair Clarkson, he says, he pinches everyone else's players. He should be selling Ferraris in Elizabeth. Whoa, here we go. Nearest the pin, afternoon, Kimbo and Rooch. Now, Rooch,
yes,
you want consistency from
AFL.
I can guarantee you will get it, as they are consistently inconsistent. Stewart should get 5,
yes,
but taking the VFL tax relief into account, he will get 4. That's from Alan from Alberton.
Surely not.
Big Al is a good judge.
Surely not.
It could be very short, Al, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Everyone says Big Al, though, don't they?
Big Al, yeah.
You know anyone called Small Al?
No.
No, nor do I.
No.
here we go. Connor Rosie.
Yes.
Is another text. Best in the comp in 3 years. Give me a break. Watch this guy against the hard at it ball teams. Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Richmond, etc. Hang on. He's questioning how hard he goes here. Watch his efforts against the Bulldogs in last year's prelim.
Short of friends that night.
Doesn't go hard enough. Yeah, he's
matured. Short of friends.
He's matured since then. Rooch, I gave you an ad break.
Yes.
We did talk about this 2 weeks where we had to put the Ghoulies on the line, and yes, we said, who would coach the Suns? I said, Stewie Jew.
Stewie Jew, we agreed there.
We said, who would do GWS? Who would do North Melbourne?
I think we just came up with a field for for GWS.
No, well, that suits your narrative now. I'll get Ben to go to the tape.
That's the way I remember it.
Yeah, well, of course you would.
Well, no, I haven't nominated anyone for GWS.
Would you like to do something you're actually getting paid for?
Yes. Well, I've had a thought, a big think about it.
Right. Do you want a drum roll?
No. Well, I'm just looking at the way in which Collingwood went about picking Craig McRae, and you would say that has been one of the big ticks of Collingwood in the past 2 years.
Definitely.
So they looked at a coach with a depth of experience and capability. Looking around at the moment, there's one man who I think fits that category perfectly, and it's Scott Burns.
Oh.
If I was on the GWS
panel, worms everywhere,
he'd be top of my list for the interviews.
Now I've got Case looking after my right shoulder here, and he's saying, what have I got written there, Case?
Scotty Burns.
He's the one that should be interviewing.
Yeah, well, we threw his name up before. Mm. I'm going to get Benny to go to the tapes to see what you said 2 weeks ago, Rooch.
No, I think I only put a field together.
Okay, well, we'll check that out then. Mm. Scotty Burns would be an absolute ripper. Mm. Before, when you were talking about Ryle Daniels, you brought up
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. We've got a text here. Gee whiz, Rooch, do you have a poster on your bedroom wall of Ryan Reynolds?
I wouldn't even know what he looks like.
Well, he was the star of Deadpool, one of my favourite movies, yes. Green Lantern, The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Right.
He's a good-looking grocer,
okay.
Rooch.
Oh, dear.
All right, just a reminder, Sarah Black coming up after 4. Oh, here we go. Oh, Mrs. Betts from McGill.
Hello, Mrs. Betts.
Now, we love Mrs. Betts. We don't know if it's Eddie's mum, grandmother,
Niece, wife.
Well, sister. Yeah, could be. Kimbo. Yes. Now, we were banging heads last night about this. Matt Crouch would walk into any team that has no interest in going forward or hitting targets. Schonberg on Sunday had 13 possessions for 425 metres. 412. Check that. Hang on a sec.
Here he goes.
I'm not going to let Mrs. Betts con me there. Hey,
how many metres?
He had Schonberg on Sunday had 13 possessions for 425 metres gained. He had 243 metres gained, Mrs. Betts. Mm. Crouch v Gold Coast, 31 possessions for 460 metres gained. I'm busy writing the book, Stop Baiting Me, to text.
looking forward to the book.
You've got your stats wrong there, Mrs. Betts. All right. We'll re-engage at a later date over that. Right, we've got to go to the news. No, I won't go to that. I'll go to that later. Daniel sent through a good text regarding Darcy Fogarty and how he's tracking at the moment.
Okay.
It's a minute past 4. Sarah Black after the news.
I'm still a fool for the Holy Grail.
3 minutes past 4 on a Tuesday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. What's wrong, Rich?
There's been a moment at AFL House, Kim. May I go on if you have to?
You're waving your arms.
Oh, no,
everywhere.
It was like looking to the heavens saying, finally, some common sense at AFL House.
Let me just say, we're here thanks to Balfours. No matter your club's colours, Balfours are for the game. What's happened?
Contentious protected area, exclusion zones.
The worst rule in the competition.
Well, deal with this. So the AFL today has written to all the clubs saying that they are adjusting and clarifying the protected area. Get ready for this. The rule has always permitted a defending player to follow their opponent into the protected area, provided they are within 2 metres of each other. So otherwise, if you see your man go through, well, you've got to follow him through, don't you? Now, in the instances where a split occurs and the defender continues to run through and clear the protected area, the umpire will no longer pay a 50-metre penalty.
What did we say? Was it yesterday or the day before Friday? This game is not that complicated. It just requires a little bit of common sense and not making rules up on the run.
So the defender still needs to vacate the protected area immediately and not delay or linger. Yeah.
And is there any other disclaimer or anything else on the bottom of this email saying that they have completely changed the descent rule?
No.
Don't want to own up to that one.
But you're like this. You're ready for this quote.
8 weeks.
You're ready for this quote from Dan Richardson, who's the umpire head at AFL House? Feedback is important, and we continually listen to a whole range of stakeholders, and this clarification will provide opportunity for the rule to be applied as intended.
Yeah. And they are listening, and that's why I always encourage people to have your say. You own the game, and they may make out they don't listen, but they do. And when people stop attending games, they take notice.
How bad were two of them at the weekend?
It's just ridiculous. And the dissent rule was just an embarrassment for 8 weeks. And to not come out and say they got it wrong is also poor form.
Oh, no, they said it had its desired effect, Kim.
No, well, that's a porky pie. And that's that's talking down to the people that keep you in existence.
Remember, they said, we can back off this. It's had its desired effect. Mm.
Let's go to a positive route. And there was a great one for the Port Adelaide Footy Club last night.
Lockie Jones, round 15 Rising Star nomination, which is quite a success story in itself because he was struggling in defence. Ken Inkley put him in attack under Nathan Bassett's sort of guidance. And now he's a Rising Star. Port Adelaide's first for this year.
And he's the ultimate man-child. He has a fair physique for a young man of 20 years
old. And the
old.
Mullet.
Yeah, and the mullet is an absolute beauty. And the moustache, Rooch. So I reckon you may have inspired him there. let's have a listen to Lockie, what he says about moving up forward.
I don't know if it's permanent, but for the time being, and talking with Bass and Kenny, it's something that we're going to look to do in the future, at least this season. Yeah, the conversation was that back lines wasn't working, so forward's where I was going to play. And yeah, I think the last few weeks have shown that it's been a good change for me and the team. So hopefully stay there for a while.
But where does every young player want to end up, Rich?
Well, he did say there for this season as a forward, what's next? Well, he's played half back, he's gone to half forward. Next phase is midfield.
I think everyone aspires to play in the midfield. I think there is potential to possibly play there in the future, get another pre-season under the belt and see what pops up next year. But obviously we've got plenty of depth in the midfield right now. So, yeah, we'll see how we go.
Here's your choice.
Oh, Rich, you tried to get another question in.
Cut off.
Hey, I'm going to cut
Ben,
you off
now. Ben, you cut me off.
we need to go to an early break because we've got Sarah Black coming up at 4:10. Lockie Jones, his best footy is ahead of him. He's going to be an absolute ripper. He's got a cult following.
Yes,
Mrs. Betts has got back quickly, Rooch.
Oh, good.
Okay, apologies, Kimbo. I was too hasty in trying to make my point. Mm-hmm. Schonberg, 13 possessions, 243 metres gain. Crouch, 31 possessions, 264 metres gain. Mrs. Betts from McGill. Brackets, not often wrong. Ooh. Mrs. Betts, I ask you to have a further look and see how many scoring assists happen in those stats as well. We'll be back with more shortly.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full.
4:12, appreciate your company and all the texts that are coming through. We're live and interactive, 0427 154 166. And we're live from Studio Lumo SA, right here at number 1 King William Street. Stack of texts coming through. Before we get to our next guest, Rooch, who I'm looking forward to chatting to, this one says, hi guys, Michelangelo. I will stake a coffee, in brackets, not instant coffee, that Ken Hinckley will be the next coach of GWS.
Ooh.
And regards to our little chat to Big Brother, Johnny Kay from Kensington, he's obviously a fan. He says, Kimbo, if Reggie gets into the final three, she will get the public vote. You're all over it, Johnny Kay. All right, let's go to our next guest. She is an absolute beauty, the chief AFLW reporter for the AFL. And the AFLW has its first draft, which includes all 18 clubs for the first time ever. What will Port and Adelaide do? Let's find out as we welcome Sarah Black. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a pretty exciting time for AFLW.
It is. We're the ones that should be thanking you because we know how busy you are over the next 48 hours. Hey, before we get into the selection, Seb, can you help us out with a couple of things? First, did every girl have to nominate the state that they wanted to play in? Okay, so that's all of them had to do that. And the other one is, does every club have to use their picks, or how many picks do they have to use?
So every club has to go to the draft with at least three selections.
Three. Okay.
That doesn't mean they have to use all three. And I suspect we'll see a couple of Victorian clubs. Well, obviously, you know, there's 10 teams over here picking from the one talent pool and two teams in South Australia. So, you know, it doesn't take Einstein to work out that there's a bit more talent floating around in SA that might be snapped up. So you might see a couple of Victorian clubs pass on their final selection. And pick up a South Australian girl as an undrafted free agent after the draft.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, well, we were just, Rooch and I were having a chat during the ad break. Like Adelaide, we'll get to Port in a moment because that's huge for them. But Adelaide has picks 40, 69 and 71. And given the strength of their list, I was just wondering, would they really want to be going and taking someone at 69 and 71?
Well, that's the national selection, and this is the beauty of AFLW draft pool, is that it's all split by state. So Adelaide's pick 69, for example, is pick 8 in South Australia.
Ah, right.
So that's the 8th base South Australian talent. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, big question here, Sarah, is when you've got expansion with Sydney, Hawthorn, Essendon and Port, how did they decide Sydney would get the first pick, followed by Hawthorn, followed by Port, followed by Essendon?
Yeah, so the rules at the start of when all expansion was announced was that it was all going to be drawn out of a hat. Ooh. For those top four positions. Yeah, so that's, you know, that's what the AFL has said, so we'll go with that.
Draft lottery. Might catch on.
All right, we've got a huge Port Adelaide audience with our show because of the Roach. He's their 19th man, has been for many years. Who are they going to take with their early picks?
At number 3.
Yeah. So, yeah, Port have number 3, which is number 1 overall for South Australia. Got to remember that. So Hannah Ewings is the girl I reckon will go to Port Adelaide. She's a really strong inside midfielder from North Adelaide. She's been proven performer at Sample W level, so she can, you know, play up against the older women as well. And she can also push forward where she can cause a bit of havoc.
All right, then they've got pick 7. Who are you predicting there?
Yeah, so pick 7, pick 2 in South Australia. I think it'll be Sarah Goodwin. She's a really classy halfback flanker. You know, when you're building a list from scratch, you want good users of the footy. And Sarah fits into that mould nicely. She plays with Glenelg at the moment. She was named in the All-Australian Under-18 team.
See, I'm glad you tidied this up because this is huge, especially when you say that Port are getting the best and the second best player in the whole of South Australia. They are going to have some talent on their list.
Yeah, they really are. So they've got the first 4 South Australian selections before Adelaide get a look in. Yeah, so that's huge when it comes to... We all know how strong the South Australian talent pool is. They absolutely dominated the Under-18 Championships. They were winning by like 80, 90 points. Mm. So there's some really talented girls coming through.
So Yasmin Dersma lives in Victoria.
Yes.
She has nominated South Australia as her state. Her brother plays for Port Adelaide, and we could have then the first brother-sister combination in an AFL-AFLW situation. Where would she fall in the draft order that Port Adelaide's planned out?
Yeah, so I reckon she'll be within that first 4 selections. So Yasmin is from, well, like Xavier is, from Gippsland.
Yep.
So she was always going to have to move to play her footy. So why not make the move to South Australia, be with Xavier? You know, you've got your family ties there. Mm. She's a really nice midfielder, can also move to defence, which reads the play really well. I wouldn't be surprised if she's taken with either pick 3 or 4 for Port Adelaide. So 23 or 31, because they won't want Adelaide having a crack at her.
Oh, I would love it. Sarah, I would love it if they just thought, no, Crows won't take her. They took a few others first. This would be like Chad Corns when he went to Port Adelaide. Well, it is because, you know, his dad was coach of the Crows and no one thought it would happen. That would be beautiful. Wouldn't that throw a cat amongst the pigeons? But Adelaide's first pick is at 40. Who do you think they're likely to take at pick 40?
Yeah, well, this is where the draft opens up a little bit. So do the Crows go for an under-18 talent, you know, and invest in the future? Or, you know, they're right in the premiership window, obviously, as reigning premiers. So do they look for, you know, someone who's going to be able to hit the ground running straight away? So there is a name that's been floating around a little bit. I'm not sure whether she'll end up at Adelaide or Port, but a mature-age talent in Jess Waterhouse. She's a forward playing for South Adelaide, super talented, small forward, and someone who can have an impact right from the word go.
Question without notice, no relation to the former number 1 draft pick, Clive Waterhouse. I wonder.
Yes, she is. The niece of. Yeah.
The niece.
Yeah. So that'd be a nice story. Yeah.
Right.
So she's actually a really strong soccer player in her own right. So she's come through, I think she's a young Matilda, and she's returned to footy recently. Mm-hmm. Has been doing really well in the sample. I'm sure if you have a quick Google, I've seen a few goals floating around on social media.
Yeah, well, Clive was a great junior soccer player as well. Catch up with Clive regularly at the North Adelaide Chibo Reach. He gets a coffee in there before he goes to golf on the weekend. He's a good man.
So, Sarah, if this was like AFL, pure national draft with bottom to top picking, and it's the number 1 regardless of where you're residing, who would be the best player to pick at the moment?
Yeah, I've been tossing that one up a bit. So the girl who's expected to go at number one is Montana Ham. She's from Victoria, but she's nominated New South Wales, so okay. She looks like she's going to go to Sydney.
Yeah.
She's a 180-centimetre midfielder, which is very tall for AFLW, so yeah. That's like ruck height. But there's also a girl in the West, Ella Roberts. She's a really lively forward. She'll end up being picked with West Coast with pick 14. So the Eagles have got a really nice one there. She's really lively and has really strong contesting marking, which is a great attribute in AFLW. So, yeah, it would have loved to see a national pool and see where everyone falls out, but yep. I reckon that's on the cards in the future.
Mm.
Sarah, really appreciate your time. Thank you for tidying up a few things as well.
Any hint on when we get a fixture?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wish I knew. I've been firmly focused on the draft. So, look, the season starts the weekend of the 26th of August.
Yep.
So, you know, we don't have much time. it'd be great if we see a fixture in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, give Nicole a ring. Get her onto it.
Yeah. One thing at a time. Focus on the draft at the moment.
Yeah, well done,
hey, good on you, Sarah. Well, we really appreciate your time. It's going to be exciting. Gets underway at 6:30. You can watch it online. That's tomorrow night. I can't wait. I know I keep saying it. Can't wait for the first showdown, Rooch.
Oh,
you
yeah.
think it's going to be round three,
four
maybe?
Or five.
Four or five.
Yeah, because Adelaide Oval is not available first up. Got a bit of rugby on, Kim.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll have AFL finals, though, will we?
No.
No, well, neither
Rich,
team will get
home.
You
gave me
final.
Some homework. Last,
yes.
Yeah, I've
we're all
it.
Waiting. People on the street saying, if he can get them to 7-7, what's he got them at round 23?
That's when you were 0-5. I said yeah. you'd be 7-7. Carlton supporters, don't ring through. I know I stuffed that one up.
I've had a look with Sydney.
I've had a look at Carlton. All right, we'll do that after right. the break.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full of
the Holy Grail. 4:26, a nice chat to Sarah Black there. She straightened up a few things, Rooch, I wasn't quite on top of. It's exciting that there's going to be so much local talent now playing AFLW.
Yeah, so effectively Port can back themselves in picking the first four, and then it gets into a competition between them and Adelaide for the last three picks they each have in the draft.
Imagine if
the
they got
Australian market.
Yeah, imagine if they got a little cocky with Yasmin Dersma and the Crows stole her.
Well, yeah, if they don't pick her in the first four picks, they run the risk.
Yeah, it won't happen though, will it? Mm. Rooch, you sent me off to do some homework.
And I did some as well on Port Adelaide's last eight home and away games. I've got them winning six out of the last eight. How many have you got? Hello, what do you give me that look for?
Oh, well.
Well, I thought I'd better join in the fun.
Well, I thought it was all about me after picking 0-5, predicting there'd be 7-7. Look, oh, I've done it too.
Hang on a minute. You have a crack at me for not coming up with a GWS coach, so I thought I'd better be prepared for this
well,
one.
Well, you did. You just forgot. We've got the audio of that. We're going to play that tomorrow.
Rightio.
All right. Well, what did you say is going to happen?
I've got them winning six of the last eight, but I'm worried about their percentage. What have you got?
All right,
you're the one who's the master, the world's greatest tipster.
That's what I wanted you to say.
Except when it comes
start.
To Sydney and Carlton.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I've done Carlton as well. I think the best that Port Adelaide can finish will be 13-9. You're saying you need 13 wins to make the top eight.
And percentage.
Right. That's the good news. I was going to say the bad news is they'll miss out on percentage, the way they're tracking at the moment. I think at worst, Port Adelaide will finish 11-11. Obviously, they don't play finals. I think it's most likely they'll finish at 12-10. But yeah, look, I've given a tick to beat Fremantle. There's games with big question marks.
Yep.
So to finish at 13 and be a silly chance, 13 wins, you'd have to beat, this is what I've got anyway, Rooch, you beat Fremantle, you beat GWS. You could beat Melbourne up at TIO in Darwin.
Mm, big ask.
Yeah, well, in Melbourne, you just don't know where they'll be mentally at that stage. They're entrenched in the finals. It's an away trip. You don't know how they turn up sometimes, but I've got Melbourne winning that. I've got Geelong beating you at the Adelaide Oval, but that's a chance to win that one.
Yeah.
I've given you victory against Collingwood, Richmond at home, Essendon at Marvel, and I've given you the showdown, Rooch, because Adelaide stole the last one off you. Mm. So, yeah, even if you get to 13, big chance to miss out.
Yeah. Well, they're currently 15 percentage points behind the Western Bulldogs. So while we say they're a win behind the Western Bulldogs, it's virtually two wins in the end, isn't it?
Well, this is what I was saying when I was calling the game on Sunday afternoon. When they're 26 points up, no matter how much Gold Coast has improved, percentage was imperative.
Yeah, well, let's pay some credit to Gold Coast. They are a much better side than what we've seen in the past.
No doubt about that. Right, to all the Carlton supporters that have been giving me grief for 6 weeks now. Yes, I got it wrong against GWS. I got it wrong against Sydney. But this is why I have a lot of respect for Carlton, because they're doing against the odds with all the injuries.
18 injuries they've got, Kim.
It's amazing.
They can field a side with injuries.
They're playing for their coach. They have a really good game style. Mm. As we said yesterday, they spread better than anyone. They set up wonderfully well, and they've got one of the best midfields in the competition.
Yes.
So I think at worst, at the very worst, Carlton finish at 14-9 now.
That gets them in?
Yep. So you give them wins against St Kilda, then the West Coast, even though it's over at Optus Stadium. Yeah. I'll give them a loss against the Cats. You can live with that, can't you?
Yep.
It's at the MCG. I'll give them a win against GWS at Marvel. Reluctantly, a win against Adelaide here at Adelaide Oval. And then the next three games, well, you've got Brisbane, Melbourne and Collingwood. Which is what I was saying when I thought they would.
That's huge.
When I thought that they would lose to GWS and Sydney, and then I had a question mark on the Collingwood game and the Richmond game.
So where have you got them before they play those three big games at the end? So you've
got them with four wins, so they're in.
Okay.
That takes them to 14 wins.
So yeah.
But if they drop one of those and they get to 13, they've got the same problem with percentage as well.
Interesting.
All right. It's all if, buts and candy nuts,
correct,
isn't it? But look, we do our homework. We base those selections on the younger players,
the
how they're tracking.
Point, where's the tipping point on injuries for Carlton?
Well, that's the thing. You look at injuries for each list. You look at the younger players,
yep,
whether they're on the improve or they're a little bit puffed out in their first year of AFL football.
Yep.
You look at the draw. You look at 5-day, 6-day, 7-day turnarounds and where the games are being played. And then you make an assessment.
Okay, stay tuned.
All right, 4:31. We're going to have a chat to John Casey. He's a guest in the studio at the moment. We're going to talk to him next. That's after the 4:30 news. And Brett Phillips coming up at 4:50 or 5, Benny?
4:50.
Oh, why'd you write 5 there?
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm the fool for the
Holy Grail. 4:35 on a Tuesday afternoon. Brett Phillips coming up shortly. Of course, he's a star of Wimbledon, all for Channel 9, and also the host of The First Serve here on SEN. We're here thanks to Balfour's, no matter your club's colours. Balfour's are for the game. We've got a special guest live in the studio, Rooch. We can't reveal yet why he's actually here, but we're allowed to talk to him about other things. He is TV and basketball royalty.
And Sandful.
And Sandful, yes. He'll be doing the game of the week, Eagles and Norwood. John Casey. Case, great to have you in here.
Thanks, Kimbo. Rooch, great to be here.
John.
Watch how it all unfolds in real life. It's exciting to look at.
Who's going to coach GWS?
You can
Scotty
be on
Burns.
The spot.
Well done.
Oh,
well
he's jumped on it. He's jumped on it.
Well done. Where's Case? Alistair Clarkson going?
Gee, Clark, he can go wherever he wants, can't he?
Well, he can. Well,
yeah, not according to our friend up in Brisbane.
2 months ago, Rooch ridiculed me when I said
how could that ever happen?
Yeah, that's what he said, because they're arch rivals. But Clarko loves that stuff. We'll wait and see. Case, great to have you in here. You're a great friend of the show. You've helped us out a lot with basketball when it's been on, all the big events, especially the Olympics. You're off to Melbourne for the, a World Championship qualifier?
That's right, yes. The Australian Boomers are going to be playing China and Japan. Three games starting Thursday night at John Cain Arena. So this is looking, of course, to the 2023 World Championships. So.
China, where are they positioned in rankings-wise?
I was surprised when I looked today, Kimbo. They're down sort of around 19 in the world at the moment. So
surprised they're that low?
Yeah. I mean, they've been much higher, and generally speaking, they're in the top 10 or around the top 10. They have been for a long time. So they've slipped a little. And Japan around 38. So Australia have played two games already and won both, and they'll play both these teams. And Chinese Taipei are here as well, but they don't play the Boomers. They just play Japan and China. They have these windows where the countries get together in their groups, play games, and then move on to the next phase.
You are one of the, I've known you a long time, one of the most professional broadcasters that I've met. How do you go with all the Chinese names you're calling a game at pace?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Some you might look at and you think, well, I'm definitely only going with the surname there rather than the Christian name as well. But Japan's fairly straightforward. China, well, they can be difficult. But the FIBA organisation with basketball now, they do a great job. So they will send out a message, an audio message to all the commentators with an explanation and a pronunciation for the name. So generally speaking, you can get most of them near enough.
So how is our squad and list? Because a lot of the superstars of our team are ageing now.
That's true, yes. Interestingly, Joe Ingles is going to be there in the crowd but won't be playing. Obviously, he's rehabbing from his injury. Yeah. But Matty Dellavedova is going to captain the team for the first time, and that's fantastic for him. Three-time Olympian, part of the bronze medal-winning team from Tokyo, and did so well in the United States in the NBA. So he's captain. Thon Maker is back in the lineup as well. He's another top 10 NBA draft pick from a few years ago. So, and then they've surrounded them with the NBL players and the quality NBL players. Mitch McCarron, the captain of the Adelaide 36ers, will be part of that. And so Australia are hot favourites to win these games, but we'll give Coach Brian Goorjian a look at those fringe players. Jack White from Melbourne United, who is right on the cusp, to see if he's up to that, and certainly building toward the World Champs next year when all the big names come back.
His appointment after being away from the caper at that level for a decade or so, your thoughts on that?
This is Gorge.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it was fantastic. And the way he embraced it was fantastic as well. When they got to Las Vegas leading up to the Tokyo Olympics, he said, guys, go at it. I've been out of this for a long time. You guys have been part of it. Let me watch you the way you do it, and I will fit in with you, as opposed to trying to get them and banging them on the head and saying, we're doing it this way.
Paul Ruse-like.
Well, yeah, that's the way he does it. Sydney, but yeah. You know, Gorge was that in his previous life.
Yep.
We're doing it my way. Well, he's matured with all the experience he's had internationally, and now he's a far calmer person. And I noticed that when I spoke to him when he came to Adelaide with the Illawarra Hawks when he came back into the league. And I thought, gee, Brian's changed a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And I think for the better. He's one of the best basketball coaches in the world.
Tactically
and man management. And his record stacks up with any sporting coach in Australia. And I think I've said this before. Yep. You could argue he is the best sporting coach, one of the best sporting coaches in Australian sports history. His record is at 66-67%. And of course, now has an Olympic bronze medal next to his name. So he's done a lot.
Mm. So where's Josh Giddey in our national program now?
Josh Giddey will be at the Olympics in 2024. Hopefully the World Championships 2023. That'll depend on his NBA commitments.
So where do the rules go on that, on release of players from the big pro league?
Well, they're all available.
Unless it's up to their call, is it?
It's up to their call, which can be influenced and has in the past by NBA teams on our better players.
Is Ben Simmons going to be un-Australian or Australian?
He's going to be there in 2024. I'm confident that he will play at the Olympics. If he's fit and he is part of the team, I think he realises that it was a mistake not to go to Tokyo, not to be part of that program. Would have helped him dramatically. And I think, and again, credit to Brian Goorjian, who kept him in the loop, kept reaching out to him. And when they won the bronze medal, they rang Ben Simmons, and he spoke to Brian and others in the change room post-game, looking at the medals and saying, we did this and we need you next time.
That is brilliant.
It was.
That is a great insight. Hey, we all love a comeback in this caper. Lauren Jackson, I didn't see that coming.
Amazing, isn't it? 9 years out of the game at the international level, and she's come back and she's playing NBL 1, a WNBL 1, I should say, which is one level down from the WNBL, and she's killing it. You know,
and she's moving ahead. Be honest, in terms of her movement, I saw a little bit of footage.
Yep, no, she's fine. You know, she's got medicinal cannabis using for her knee replacement that she's had, and she's an 11th, 12th person on the roster bringing experience. I think she'll make it. I spoke to Andrew Gaze about it today. He's not so sure. He thinks that perhaps she won't get that far. I think she can.
Let's change the pace. You also call the Sandful for Channel 7, your game of the week, and our game here at SEN as well is Eagles v Norwood. How are you liking this season in the Sandful?
Absolutely fantastic, isn't it? The way that it's all panning out at the moment. Fourth against fifth, this is going to be the Eagles against Norwood. Norwood, good winners last week against Sturt. The Eagles bounced back after losing to Central District in the upset of the season to beat West. And the two coaches, the two Jades, Sheedy and Rawlings, were coach and assistant coach in the state team. They have a good rapport, a good relationship. Going to be a cracking game. And then we've got Glenelg and Adelaide second versus third as well. And I think, Rooch, you used the word mature was the decision from Glenelg, and I couldn't agree more, to allow Brett Turner to play for the Crows against his old team.
Yeah. So a big round of footy coming up there. Hey, we're live and interactive. You're a very popular man, Case. The number's 1300 736 736. We got Mark from Grange. Wants to have a chat to you. G'day, Mark.
G'day, guys. G'day, Case. Can you tell me, what does the 36ers need to get, like, two places up, like up to, say, the Sydney Kings? I don't know. We're always lacking every year. And sometimes we just get the wrong... We import the wrong players. What do you think we need to get that, you know, two steps better at the Adelaide 36ers?
Well, Mark, good to talk to you. I think we've got it now. They've recruited two guys, Robert Franks from Brisbane and Antonius Cleveland from the Illawarra Hawks, who was Defensive Player of the Year. With those two, they have got two of the best imports in the country Franks was top five in scoring last year. And as I mentioned, Cleveland, the best defender. And you've already got Mitch McCarron and Sunday Dets, who are two of the best Australians in the competition at the moment. And then you've got Daniel Johnson, who is 20 and 10 every night, just continues to get it done. So I can see the Adelaide 36ers definitely breaking their finals drought this coming season.
Is this CJ's team? Is this CJ's
Daniel
team?
Yep.
Sorry, Mark, go again. Where you go, Mark?
Hello.
Yep, we've got you back.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, Daniel Johnson, does he take all the heavy work in that club? Honest, he's the main man. You know, like, they should give him a statue, that poor bloke, every week, how hard he works.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's done a great job and he has been a legend for the club and will continue to produce the goods. He's playing NBL 1 at the moment and doing a good job of it. So he's one of those players that seems to be able to continue to contribute no matter how long he's been playing. So with him there and the others that they've recruited, and this is CJ's team.
CJ, so we've had coaches who have come in and been handed a team.
Yep, the last two it's happened. So
CJ now got his fingerprint on this team, so it's now his blueprint.
Yep.
He gets to do what he wants to do with his men.
That's right. He's got the team, and also if you saw the way they finished last NBL season where they won three of their last four games, should have won all four, but let a big lead go in Melbourne in the penultimate game of the season. The players are with him. And he has a proven record of success. So I think now he's got the two players that he wanted, the two imports that he wanted, and those that they've surrounded him with and those that are already there. As I say, I'm very bullish. 36 is going to play finals for the first time in 5 years.
Ooh. Oh, I tell you what, I've been all in the last 2 years based on the interviews we've done with both coaches.
Yeah.
And we've got our fingers singed a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Me as well. I had them playing finals last season, but then, of course, they lose Isaac Humphries to a season-ending knee injury after about six games, and that changed the dynamic completely.
Case, you call AFL as well, and you've seen a lot of changes, whether it be, say, of sandfall, basketball, AFL. You've travelled around the world doing your job. What would you rate the AFL this year, the way they've handled a number of rule changes and interpretations?
Oh, look, they cop it, don't they? They get...
You're the host broadcaster.
They get criticised left, right and centre. What I will say is that I'm watching games and I'm thrilled by the way the excitement that it's providing. Gold Coast against Port, end-to-end, kicking goals. Teams running through the middle of the ground, kicking goals. Yes, they've got those issues around the rules, and the sooner they bring in the last disposal out of bounds rule, the better it will be for everyone.
Without a doubt. I told you, Roach, when you work for the station that's hosting, you're not allowed to badmouth the AFL.
No, and
it's an unwritten rule, but they don't. It's been a stuff up.
In which rule?
There's too many inconsistencies.
Too many inconsistencies.
You can watch one game to the next.
Bring in too many grey areas.
Yeah. Yep.
And the communication in terms of the dissent was an absolute joke. Yep. We all understand. We didn't know it was a big issue between players and umpires. And I don't think it was when you talk to people behind the scenes. Mm. We understand what they're trying to do, and they've got a shortfall of umpires at the lower grades, but it was poorly handled and it damaged the image of the game, and it took away the pleasure from watching the game. And then all of a sudden now they back off on it and there's not even an apology. Yeah, we got that wrong.
Yeah, I think they could have communicated it a little bit better. And yes, there were teething problems with it, but they've seen the error of their ways and now they're going to correct it. So that's all that matters. Yeah, we get there in the end.
Yeah, they're like you. Rich.
Tribunal just begun with Tom Stewart. You've seen the moment with Dion Prestia. If you're sitting on that tribunal, what's your verdict? Because you might as well be nearest the pin as well.
Nearest the pin as well. Starting point is five.
I would have thought so.
Five. Yeah, that seems we're getting a lot of texts. If we don't read your texts out, you're still in the draw to win that prize nearest the pin. If you've just joined us, all you have to do is predict accurately how many games Tom Stewart. We're not celebrating or dancing on his grave, but
it's a contentious issue, isn't it? The tribunal. Yeah.
So I've said four, right. Rich has gone five, and Case, you've gone five.
I think five it has to be. And, you know, look, it is so contentious because Geelong win that game. They're second on the ladder.
Yep.
Mm.
Now, Richmond win that game and Prestia didn't play at all, did he? Well,
no, they're in the
Geelong eight. Are like sixth. Now, they dropped four spots, which could, in fact, severely influence where they start
you,
in the finals.
And you cover Richmond would be in the eight.
You cover a sport where the referee, umpire, official can say, you're going to pay a penalty immediately. So Tom Stewart would have been put in a sin bin, sent off. Big debate in the AFL. Do we need to have a send-off rule?
I think you could use it. It could be useful. But the way that it's framed, obviously, is going to create too many variables with it. So some sports it's useful for and some sports it's not. I'm not sure it fits the AFL. And certainly in basketball, sometimes they get it wrong as well. We had an incident, shall we say, opening round of the season, opening game of the season, and Nathan Sobey, Australian Olympian, was ejected from the game won in Tasmania in overtime because he had an indiscretion earlier in the game where he delayed the game, he flopped. You get an unsportsmanlike call. They're trying to stamp that out. Yep. And then in overtime, he turns to the referee and says something he shouldn't have said.
Yep.
That's his second. And if you get two, you're out.
Right.
So it changed the dynamic of the game completely. So I like it, but I think it would create as many problems as it's going to solve.
Exactly. I think the only way you could entertain it, it can't happen when it's part of a football action or contest. And this was part of the play, even though the execution was poor. It can't happen for a Harris Andrews, Jeremy Finlayson type situation.
Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, sorry. It can only happen, I believe.
Off the ball, way back.
Brent Stoker, Barry Hall type
Franklin
scenario.
Franklin Cochin?
No, but it, Rooch, it was just a push.
I'm talking about incidents that are not in the play.
That's where you're getting line ball. I think it can only be where it's just crystal clear. Now, you see Barry Hall go back and he king hits someone, well, then you're out.
Yeah.
That is simple. That is black and white. But you start going down the ground, the area that you are, that line, I think it gets very grey. Case, great to chat with you. Hopefully we've got a big announcement coming up in a week or two.
Fingers crossed.
All right, we've got to go to a break. That's John Casey from Channel 7. You can catch him. No, he's not working tonight, but you can see their news service at 6. And, of course, they'll be covering the Eagles-Norwood game, and so will we be on SEN. We're going to take a break. We've got Brett Phillips coming up next to talk tennis.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full of the
Holy Grail. 4:54 on a Tuesday afternoon. Stack of texts coming through. Good chat with John Casey there. Now, we had another text come through, and I didn't read it in time. That was from Lockie. He says, Arvo, boys, can you ask Case if he thinks Dante Exum will end up back in the NBA after his stint in Barcelona? Lockie, I can tell you, I asked the question to Case. He strongly believes that he should. He can't answer whether it would happen or not. All right, a man that can answer nearly any question you give him without a doubt. Is a gentleman known as BP. Sounds like he's underwater at the moment. This is time for our Wimbledon update, Rooch. Thanks to Yonex, 76 years of performance, tennis product crafted in Japan. Check out their latest range at yonex.com. G'day, BP.
Kimbo, Rooch, very nice to be back on the program.
Oh, it's great to have you. I stayed up till 2 a.m. and watched you last night, BP. You did a ripping job, and so too did the cock.
He was very, very good last night. He'd be happy, very happy to win that in straight sets because he's sort of played these long matches and hasn't quite got the reward in his comeback the last 2 years. But, yeah, tough first set tiebreaker. Pulled away in the second, tied a third, but saw off Kamil Majcik of Poland. And that sets up a dream matchup with Novak Djokovic on centre court, likely tomorrow morning, our time. And yeah, look, he was really good. There was just a slight concern coming in because he had a little tumble on the grass of a place called Surbiton, a challenger, going back 3 weeks ago. And he didn't play in the 2 weeks leading up just to rest the body. We know it's always been careful management with Thanasi, but let's hope this second half of the year can really propel him closer to that top 50. And, I'd love to know. I might text Todd Langman, his coach, who runs the magnificent Glenleigh tennis facility over there in Adelaide, along with Todd Lay. Many fine kids coming out of that centre, and I'd love to know the game plan to try and tackle Djokovic, because this is it's a big challenge.
It was interesting last night. The cock was down in the first tiebreaker, but fought back. He was only down one break. Won in straight sets, as you mentioned. The Joker wasn't that impressive. He was a little bit scratchy.
Yeah, you find this. I mean, if I think back through, history of the top players, there's always a little hiccup or, certainly just they're fine-tuning. They're working their way into the tournament. And then the player who's, really playing, with no pressure, no expectation, trying to take a scalp, they sort of rise to the occasion. And there is that, opportunity to take a set or take one of the top players to five. I mean, I just think of even, Serena at the Australian Open over many years where she was facing match points against her. It looked like she was going to be bundled out and somehow miraculously got through. And then she would steamroll through the second week. So it's, trying to pace yourself over the seven matches. And look, Djokovic, there's a lot driving him because he's unlikely to get into New York for the US Open later this year. He's two behind Rafa. He's not really driven right now by the number one ranking. He's been there enough. That's not the main goal. It's to have the most majors of all time. So he needs to get cracking here. And he started with a win, and we'll see what Kokkinakis can throw his way.
Brett, it's the start of another major, and we might as well maintain our tradition. Ben has opened the vault. Before we go too far, who's going to win the men's title? Who's going to win the women's title? You're on the record now.
Well, it's funny. One of the contenders for the men. I'm glad you asked me today, as opposed to yesterday. I might have said big Hubie Hurkacz, the big seventh seed from Poland, who'd actually come in with great form and made a semi last year, but he got knocked out by Davidovich Fokina, the Spaniard, last night. So glad didn't go there. Look, outside of Djokovic, I will nail it down. But I mean, Berrettini's probably the best in-form player. Made the final last year.
Yep.
He's just a superb grass courter, but. I think Novak, there's just so much driving him here. And he's looking to become, I think, the fourth man in the Open era to win four consecutive years in a row. So I'm going to stick with Djokovic from what I've seen.
But good.
Who knows it? And on the women's, look, I mean, every good run's got to come to an end.
Yes.
But I'm still not convinced about any of the female players. Let's rule out Serena. Serena can't win Wimbledon. Let's absolutely rule that out.
Well, you've made that clear for the last 3 years.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm fascinated to see what she brings to the table tonight, how she looks physically.
Yes.
But Iga Swiatek's got a very good draw. She's only had the 10 days prep on the grass. There is no expectations. Almost like she's starting a new part of the season. It's not like she's wanting to continue or the pressure of continuing the streak. But the rest I'm not convinced about whether they can step up. So I still lean to Iga. I haven't gone too bold, have I, with the predictions?
No, you sound tired and you sound like you're sitting on the fence. It's been disappointing so far, BP. Let me give you an easier one. Your favourite Australian athlete of all time hits the court tonight, Nick Kyrgios.
Well, if he can't beat Paul Jubb, 217 in the world, a wild card from GB, he may as well just pack it up. But look, he'll make light work of the young man from Great Britain. And you know, he's on the same side as sort of Shapovalov, Bautista Agut, maybe a matchup with Tsitsipas in round three. He's on the same side as Berrettini in a possible quarter, but we'll go one match at a time. Just listening to his presser over the weekend, there was plenty in there, but I think he sounds pretty switched on and focused.
Okay.
Everyone wants the focus to be on the doubles.
Yeah.
He's not that focused. You know why? Because Wimbledon is best of five of doubles. That's not exciting Nick Kyrgios to play best of five doubles.
Yeah.
But tonight, I think he starts with a win.
You didn't even bite with that little intro to that question then about Nick Kyrgios. Have you two smoked the peace pipe, have you?
No. Well, sometimes I just don't have the passion to go there.
That's fair enough.
It's been a long-running saga, Brett.
I put it on a plate for you. I thought, no, we'd get something really quotable there.
So you can read his mood, can you? Do you think he's genuine about this one?
Well, he loves Wimbledon, yeah. I mean, this is a guy. I mean, as we know, he could just have 4 months off and come out and light it up like he's played all year. He doesn't want to play all year. He plays select parts of the season. But he loves grass. And his lead-up form has been pretty good, to be honest. He's made, three semifinals, and he's been knocking on the door. And, you know, it'll always be the sort of mental state and the body over seven matches. But, you know, certainly he'll go out and entertain, do what he does. Demonor, you know, we never sort of talk about Alex, but, you know, he's got Hugo Delian tonight, should beat him, the Bolivian, and, you know, he's in that side of the draw as a possible matchup for Berrettini as well, which is pretty tough. But, yeah just wanting to play the bigger points better. That, if he can get that right, Alex Demonor, I still have faith that he'll remain our number one Aussie for some time.
Right.
BP, I know this will break your heart. We're going to give you an early minute tonight. I've completely stuffed up. We're already late for the 5 o'clock news. You know we love chatting to you. We'll chat again tomorrow. Tonight, Ila Tomljanović, Daria Gavrilova, and this is the first Wimbledon without Roger Federer since 1998. It just doesn't seem right. Ooh. Hey, BP, have a good night. We'll be watching on Channel 9 tonight.
Thank you very much, gents.
There he is. He's a beauty. Brett Phillips. Time for the news. We're late, Rooch.
I'm still full of the Holy Grail.
4 minutes past five. Gee, the show is racing along, Rooch. Very rude of me not to acknowledge Brett Phillips again, thanks to Yonex. 76 years of performance tennis products crafted in Japan. Check out their latest range at yonex.com. That's a fair success story, isn't it?
It is indeed.
76 years of the one brand. A big tribunal hearing going on as we speak. Can you update us?
Underway, whereby Geelong, with their counsel for Tom Stewart, has asked for a 3-game ban. The AFL has responded they think it sits at 4. So 3 and 4 is where the tribunal will consider. And now Tom Stewart's panel has put forward two examples they want considered. It is Sam Reed's bump on Nat Fyfe in 2021. That was given 2 weeks. And the other one was Patrick Dangerfield on Jake Kelly in 2021, which was given 3 weeks. So at this point, they've been mature in the tribunal after the horror of what happened with the Franklin Cotchin hearing.
A lot of people looking for a big penalty here. I think 4's big, but I'm
just seems school. Short compared to what they've handed out in recent times for in football issues.
No, I understand that. I thought 4 was a little severe
for Scott Lycett,
and the other one,
Alex Neil Bullen.
Yes, which was on Richard Douglas, wasn't it?
No, another Crows player, Will Hamill, wasn't it?
Will Hamill. Apologies. Yeah, he's had his 5th concussion.
Yeah.
So our thoughts are with him. Hopefully he's going to be okay. All right, we'll keep you across that. Stack of texts coming through. We spoke to
Sarah Black.
Sarah Black, sorry. I was thinking Sarah Jones from Fox Footy then. What?
Well, excuse me, for Ryan Reynolds, for Ryan Daniels. We all have these moments, Kim.
Well, you didn't cut me any slack when I said Brad Crouch instead of Matt.
Yeah, but
you
that
jumped
was the
on me
third
like a ton
one
of brick.
In 5 minutes.
I'm going to start. We're going to keep score then, Rooch. And I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I said Sarah, and I knew you'd help out. I was thinking
Black.
Of Sarah Jones. Get stuffed, Rooch. Right. Anyway, let's move to a positive. Joey from Camden Park said, "Hi, boys. I loved Sarah's AFLW draft assessment. She didn't when asked about players. Excellent work. Mm. Watch out for Waterhouse from South." Now, this is Clive's niece. She plays like a Chloe Shear and will be a steal. Now, Chloe Shear is an absolute ripper. That's another one that Adelaide lost.
It'll be a big night tomorrow. 6:30 AFLW draft. The first one with all 18 National League clubs. We shouldn't say AFL clubs, National League clubs.
Am I allowed to pick you up on that or not?
You can, anytime you wish.
Dave, that's me.
Hello,
this
Dave.
Is from Mo, who's been calling me Dave for 4 years. Dave, Rucci and Benny. He gives you a mention, Benny.
Yeah. Even though Ben won't speak.
No, Ben nodded. We've got very high-pitched voice.
Is that the issue?
Yeah, he's a bit insecure with it.
Right.
Hope you are all well. Dave. How many more wins do you think will the Blue Baggers need to lock in a finals berth? As long as we don't get any more injuries and end up forfeiting a game. We did this before, Mo. I've gone through their games. At worst, you win another 4. So that's going to put you at 14-9. So Carlton will be playing finals. If you have something disastrous happen, you end up at 13, then it'll get down to percentage, Roach.
And that could be very, very much against Port Adelaide at the end, couldn't it?
Yeah, and Carlton.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'd have any problems there.
Now, Kim, one of the few teams to have beaten Melbourne during its great premiership run is Adelaide. Enormous win they had, controversial finish.
Well,
with
that was deliberate... a free kick all day every
now,
day.
Adelaide worked out Melbourne, so to speak. And there's been a bit of discussion.
One game.
Well, that's all they played recently.
Okay.
Now, we've heard from both camps today to how that game played out.
Well, I want to hear. James Raley spoke about it yesterday, but Troy Chaplin, their assistant coach, he spoke about the Crows today and the trap that they fell into when they lost last year.
They certainly like to move the ball very fast. And last year we fell into that trap of playing a bit of a shootout with them and ended up getting beaten at Adelaide Oval. And that was our first loss for the year. So we know that if you get into a bit of a shootout with them, you're not going to win the game. That's the reality. So for how we want to play, we've got to make sure that we don't feed that type of ball movement, but also the crowd as well. Their crowd really get into their scoring. So I think in that same game, we're up by 20 points maybe 3 times in that game, and every time they got back into the game. So we know how they want to move the ball. They may have changed a couple of things from over the bye. So we'll have a good look at that around what they're doing at stoppage or if they've changed any personnel. So we'll get a bit of a closer look at that this afternoon when we catch up as coaches. But you're right, they've still got some... Like Texas been playing some great footy for... I think people wrote him off a couple of years ago. His last 2 years have been pretty bloody good. So they've got, obviously, him forward of the ball and Fogarty bobbed up on the weekend as well. But what they do have as well is some real two-way running midfielders. Like Ben Keyes has really taken his game to another level. Rory Laird as well. So we understand it's not going to be easy. And if you're off 5 or 10% in today's game, it doesn't matter where you sit in the ladder. You put yourself in a really vulnerable position.
What's that meter you call it?
That's Troy Pinocchio Chaplin.
How did they win the grand final against the Western Bulldogs?
Oh, I tell you, scared to get into a shootout with Adelaide.
Adelaide's got speed in the midfield.
On, Chappy, you wimp.
No, we're not falling for that.
And blame the crowd. Okay, well.
We're not falling for that rubbish.
If you're an Adelaide supporter, just get there, yell really loud, and Adelaide's guaranteed a 4 points.
Oh, no.
I hadn't heard that. Let's compare. He thinks that's why they lost last year. This is James Raleigh talking about what the Crows did well. We'll match the two.
All right.
What we did really well against Melbourne last time is not let their defence get set. So hopefully we can do that again because if we move the ball and give our forwards a chance, I think we can be pretty dangerous. So, but they were pretty impressive, weren't they, especially around the footy. And Brisbane are a pretty class side as well, so it was good to watch on Friday night.
When I say move the ball, what are some of the keys to not letting the defence set? What are some of the keys?
Just our ability to shift it and shift it quickly and take our medicine at the right times as well and back in our bigs ahead of the ball. But, they're very good when their defence gets set. Probably the best defensive team in the comp.
I didn't hear him say the crowd won up for us.
No.
Look, we're having a bit of fun.
To be serious, these times when you've got COVID restrictions, I don't think the crowd plays that much of a factor at times, does it?
Oh, I tell you what. Last year, they were loud.
You're talking about the crowd last year, Troy.
No, they were loud. I did that game. They were up and about, and you had crowds that were really loud as well. It seems to reverberate even when you're out.
Well, Adelaide Oval was great for that. Yeah.
That was interesting. Oh, Chappy. He could show us to Eskimos. Hey. All right, a few texts coming through.
They won a grand final shooting out against the Western Bulldogs. They had more bullets than anyone else that day.
And now, Rooch, we've got a few texts come through on the Port Adelaide jump. Have we got time to do that, Benny, before the break? Well, we'll do it after the break. All right, because I know you want to talk about that. We haven't ignored it. Port's last eight games played, excluding Kangaroos, have only scored 5 goals and 26 points in the other 7 games in the last quarter in total. Is this a fitness issue or game plan issue, even though our record is 5-2 in those games? From Jono. Rooch, you're the Port man.
I've got to do a bit of work on that because...
Yeah, well, if you take it at face value, that suggests they're not running out the games.
Well, that Sydney one was interesting. St Kilda game, well, wet conditions, you know, with the up at Cairns.
Yeah, makes that's true. To consider. Yeah, low scoring, yeah.
You've got to look at it a bit deeper than that, I think.
All right. Port v Crows, round 23. The Crows finishing Port season will be elite. That's from Daniel.
That's interesting showdown.
I gave you a win on that one, Rooch.
Yes.
Brady Boy says, I don't care what anyone says. I love Ken Hinckley and I want him to be our coach for the next 20 years, like Kevin Sheedy was at Essendon. He deserves a premiership or 2 or 3 at Port Adelaide. In Kenny, I trust. He's a great man and a great coach. Good on you, Brett. There you go. True supporter. Hi. Oh, no, that's one for Ben. No, sorry. There's another one. We spoke about Lockie Jones with his Rising Star nomination. He also has received a role in the new Tarzan movie. Good on you, Chopsy from Cheltenham. Now, talking of Chopsy, he is the winner of Nearest the Pin for over the weekend.
And how near did he get?
He was about 56 points off from memory, I think. Yeah, and he won.
So where did everyone stuff up there?
Well, because a lot of Port people had the Crows getting pumped by the Roos.
That wasn't going to happen. Well, it's like the Crows fans who had Sydney pumping Port Adelaide the week before.
Exactly, Roach.
Why shoot yourself in the foot when you've got a great prize on the line?
I know. Well, Chopsy, he's been on a bit of a roll. He's won that Signet Power Bank. Ben, another... cut and paste, you've got saying Chopsy won it, then you want me to say congratulations, Renee. No, this is why he doesn't talk. Just say sorry. I tell you what, go to a break.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full of
the Holy Grail. 5:19, almost done for another day. We're in time on. Tomorrow's car is in stock today. Tech driver, Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel all-wheel drive. We love the support we get from Hyundai. I wish I had the same support from you, Rooch, I tell you. Text has come through. As a Giants member, I've seen enough of McVay.
Coach.
Mark McVay that I think he deserves a go. That's Peter in Canberra. I hope it's not too cool there, Pete. Now, we banged heads earlier, Rooch. You claim you didn't say who you thought or not would nominate to get that gig.
I didn't think I did.
Are you saying you don't think you
I thought I only put together a list. I thought we were doing a list. No, Ben, and you were the definitive one.
Ben's gone to the audio bank. You know.
Who did I pick?
We'll join us tomorrow. You've gone for Scott Burns now, though.
Yes.
Haven't you?
Yes.
Rooch, there was something that I heard yesterday. I was having a little listen to the Melbourne Breakfast Show. Nathan Buckley's on every Monday with Gary Lyon. And he made this claim, which sort of pricked my ears a little bit, well, my one ear that works. He said that Charlie Dixon has unlocked what makes Port great. Have a listen to this.
Number three, Charlie Dixon. Since he's been back, Port have gone 3-1, but I reckon he has unlocked most of what makes Port Adelaide great. In four games, he's taken 10 marks. So he's key forward, second ruck, or even primary ruck now with their dearth, but he's only taken 10 marks. And he's kicked six goals across four games. But the role that he plays is released Finlayson, who's released Todd Marshall, who's come to the fore even further. Offensively for Port Adelaide, they looked bereft of any idea of where they were going and what they were doing in the first 5 weeks when they went 0-5, and they missed this bloke. And the confidence that it gives the ball users off halfback, that you know that if the shit hits the fan, that you've got that long down the line target to go to, and he just gives you confidence to build around. So he doesn't have to be a best on ground. He doesn't even need to be in your best six, seven, eight players on the field, but he gives them the structure that they've built off, and that's why we're seeing Port Adelaide play better footy.
Oh, dear. He hasn't watched Port then, has he?
Well, I listened to that, Rooch, and I thought, no, I'm calling BS on that one. Notice I said BS.
Yes, I'm glad
Nathan,
you
Nathan. Yes. Getting a little bit loose there, Nathan.
I have to have a word to Nathan.
But great respect for Nathan. He's coached and we haven't. Yes. But I thought when he came back into the side, Rooch, that it put their forward set up into chaos because they were just finding space inside 50, Finlayson and Marshall.
Yep.
They were kicking goals regularly.
And it's only recently they've realised Marshall needs to be in the goal square. Finlayson's gone to ruck. And Charlie's now between both.
What do the stats tell us?
Okay, so as Nathan said about the 3-1 with Charlie Dixon, well, Port's averaged 76 points in those four games. Mm-hmm. Now, the five before that, where they beat West Coast St Kilda, won against the Western Bulldogs, North Melbourne, and lost to Geelong, they were averaging 81 points.
Mm.
So they're actually scoring less
with
Charlie.
Yeah. Oh, I like Charlie in the side, but I just thought that was factually
it's a different
incorrect.
Model. Yeah, it's a different model.
And then he's comparing it to the first five games.
Well, no, we can write them off.
All right, so you can pick who you think was right on that one. Here's a text, Ricky G from Cairns. Gee, we got the whole of Queensland listening now, Rooch.
Good.
Would love to see Hinkley sign another long-term contract. Imagine the naysayers throwing their tantrums. Rolled gold entertainment. Oh, Rooch.
Well, there's no guarantee if it all changes at the end of the year that it suddenly becomes a premiership side, is there?
No, but if you don't make finals, yeah. I think, and I am a big fan of Kenny's, big fan, but if you've only got 1 year to go, I think you just bow out quietly. I've said that from the start of the season. You don't make finals, so I think Kenny will fall on the sword. And I think he's been a good coach, and he'll be a good coach wherever he goes next.
Well, I could bring up the examples of Bomber Thompson and Damien Hardwick, couldn't I?
Mm. I get a feeling when we had that coaching discussion before that you've just had a mental blank on,
Rooch.
You're very strong with the argument before.
Well, you know I've been clear-cut on a couple of them, but I didn't think I had definitive
thought you
one
had
for
Ken Hinkley going to GWS and Adam Kingsley coaching Port from memory. Does that ring a bell?
Well, yes. I can remember that now. Yeah.
All right, a few other texts
if
coming.
If Ken's available.
A few Ken. Other texts coming through. Look, we're out of time, Rooch. I love it. We'll revisit that tomorrow, I can assure you, unless I'm wrong. Have a look at his pro. This is talking about Rosie. Have a look at his prelim against Richmond the year before. Rosie was one of Port's best. Not sure I'd be questioning his performance in big games. That's from Macca. Now, he's a beauty, Rosie. No doubt about that.
And we've completed a miracle. We did the show without mentioning Port Adelaide's bars jumper.
Oh, we did not. We can talk about it tomorrow.
Well, we'll talk about it for ages anyway, until the AFL shows some courage.
Oh, some
can
courage.
Can open worms everywhere.
Maybe your management shouldn't sign documents.
Or
that
maybe
prohibit
the AFL should
doing
be consistent.
I'm glad we didn't talk about it. Uru, we'll do it all again tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.